Psalm 119, familiar scripture, many of it, especially our verse tonight. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for how good you are. We thank you for how good you are to us, how you bless us. Lord, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die upon the cross on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful and wonderful word that you've given us. And as we are nearing our way, Lord, towards the end of our discipleship concerning your word, we pray that none of this would be lost on us. Lord, that we would take this word and hide it in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be changed by the word each and every day. I pray that we would be dedicated to your word, faithful to your word. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've been here for a while in our discipleship series. Long enough, actually, for me to think about another few series in discipleship. We've been here for a while, and like I said, it's amazing, but we can't exhaust God's Word, and we've established that. You cannot exhaust God's Word. My 7th, 10th, 15th great-grandson could be a preacher. However long that is, hundreds of years down the road, and he could preach the same gospel. A great-great-great-granddaughter could tell her little children by the bedside about Jesus, and the truth would be the same 200 years from now as it is today. The same today as it always has been, and the same thing as it always will be. And that's what's such a blessing about the Word of God, and why we should fall in love with the Word of God is because it's timeless. It's timeless. There's no end date on it. There's no time stamp on it. There's no expected expiration date on it. We know that it's going to last forever. It's going to stand when the nations of this world fall, the Word will stand. It outlasts and it outlives the generations of people. It outlasts and it outlives empires and countries. It is the only thing that will save a nation like the United States of America. It's the only thing that can uphold order and justice upon this earth. It's the only thing that can offer salvation beyond the grave to men, women, boys, and girls. It's the only thing that can give true hope to anyone on the earth, the Word. I've used the example, and I'll use it again. We buy insurance on things, don't we? I'm insured, Shelby's insured, the house is insured, cars are insured. They got dog insurance. I mean, they've got insurance for everything. You can put all insurance on. I got concealed carry insurance just in case anybody makes me do something I don't want to do. Got all kinds of insurance, and we have hope in these things that we'll be protected in the event something happens, right? We have hope that if something takes place, that we'll be protected. But the only thing I tell you tonight that you can truly put any faith in is this Word. It would take one moment, our electrical grid and systems go down, and everything we have, they wouldn't be worth a dime. I mean, 1 second. Oh, that can't happen. That can't happen. You've been reading some crazy book. You've been watching some crazy movie. No. Listen, we serve a God that will send plagues on His enemies. We serve a God that destroyed this entire world with a flood. We serve a God that will destroy this entire earth with fire and brimstone. So don't you think for a minute that God can't shut everything we got off. Don't seek to cause panic or cause scare, but what I hope that we would look and understand is that all that we possess and all that we think we have could be gone in a moment. Hey, that mortgage you owe a bunch of money on, it could be gone in a moment, but guess what? The ability to have tap water in the house could be gone too. Your ability to get up and drive and go somewhere could be taken away. But you wouldn't need to go to work. Hey, there's good and bad things about technology, am I right? But the fact is, we rely on these things. We get up in the morning, we expect to flip the light on, turn the water on, take a shower, get outside, the car to start, the traffic lights to be working. But all this that we take hold of and we take every morning, we take for granted that we have, and we just expect it to be working, we forget that the only thing that's consistent throughout any generation, any day, and any age is the Word of God. It will outlast anything. It will withstand any storm, any difficulty, any pandemic, any worry, any war, anything to take place, this Word will stand. How do you know that? Because it has stood throughout generation to generation, through the wars and the famines and the hardships and the difficulties and the dark days and the dark times. The Word has stood. I think about the United Kingdom during World War II. You realize the United States of America, we were attacked on our soil, but we weren't right across the pond from Germany. It took the Japanese quite a while to get to Pearl Harbor. The United Kingdom, I mean, the bombings that took place in the United Kingdom, read the history and you can see and know what kind of turmoil and peril that country went through during the Second World War. And I think about the many preachers I've read that after them, the preachers that I've listened to their sermons, that they were pastoring and they were preaching during that time. And even as they were preaching the gospel and they were telling people about the goodness of God, the night before London had been bombed. The night before the Germans had flew over and dropped bombs on innocent civilians and innocent children and innocent people and sick people in hospitals. But what held that nation together, and the account that you'll hear and the things that you will tell about a revival, even in our own nation, after the attacks of Pearl Harbor and what we've seen down through history, look at 9/11 and how united, people were united by the Word of God. But it seems like just weeks or months later, we let go. I've heard people refer to being united in the United States like we were on 9/12, right? Everybody was united on 9/11 and 9/12. But as days have gone by and months and years have passed by, we're not as united. You see, the Word, it unifies people. Hardship comes up, and unfortunately, it's God being the spare tire. People get in when things get bad, right? What I'm here to tell you tonight is that this Word, it's so timeless and it's so true and it's so perfect and it's so amazing. It's so infallible, it's so inerrant that each and every day we should go to this Word and say, this is what's holding me together. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We should get up and we should say, each and every day, this Word is what sets the standard for my home. This Word is what sets the standard for my life. I remember being offered different positions or different promotions or different opportunities in my time as a banker. And I remember saying to certain managers, let me go home and pray about it. Let me have some time to spend time with God, and let me have some time to make sure this is the right decision. And they look at you like you're crazy. Why would you? Well, we've offered you money. We've offered you a title. We've offered you an opportunity. We've offered you all these things. Those things do not matter. What matters first and foremost is, am I following this Word? Now, there's not every chance that I've had that I've said, let me sit back and think about it and pray about it. But when I do, and I'm letting this Word rule in my life, my goodness, how much more God can bless me. Don't feel foolish saying, let me pray about it. Don't feel foolish saying, let me go look in the Word of God. Let me spend some time studying it. Don't feel foolish saying those things. It sounds foolish to people that don't know. But it's not foolish at all. Seek the Lord. Unify in His Word. Stand in His Word. Why read it? We talked about the other night about how it brings growth. There will be growth. When people read the Word of God, it's one of the most exciting things that you will see. As a pastor, it's so exciting when you get around somebody and you can see and know that they've been reading the Word. Why? Because it comes out in the way they present themselves. It comes out in the way that they carry themselves. It comes out in the way that they may dress, or they may, you say, well, you look homeless with your beard. But the thing is, I think a beard's a manly and godly thing. Amen. Read it. The Word will tell you to grow one. No. But You get in the Word and people will change. And you know what? The only benefit, the only way we should want to see people change in Mountain View is by the Word. By the Word. You know, I have learned that me going to somebody and saying, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, if they do it for me, there's no benefit. But when you see someone discipled, we're talking about discipleship. It may have not felt like it for the past 6 weeks, but we're talking about discipleship. When we want to, when someone grows in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when they're walking according to the Word as their rule, and they start changing how they talk, how they act, how they look, how they seem, how they treat people, how they love people, when you start seeing those things change, that's a sign of true growth in someone. You see, that parable of the sower and the seed is so perfect. Man, God's Word is so perfect. Talks about the seed that's cast out on the stone. What does it say about that seed? That seed springs up, but it dies because the roots, it's been sown on stone. It's not going to work. The rock, it will not grow through that rock. Someone that's spending time in the Word of God, you can count on the fact that they're growing in good ground. That they've been planted in good ground. It brings growth. The next thing, and we're going to look first, Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The first thing that the Word does, why would we read the Word? Why spend time reading the Word? It gives first direction. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. First thing that we want to talk about tonight, the benefit of reading the Word, is it will give you direction in your life. Now, it's not going, as we said this morning, now we're preaching on Sunday morning about waiting on God. We're preaching tonight on getting direction from the Word. You can't always crack the Bible open and get this clear path answer to every single thing. You say, well, it's the Word of God. Why not? We need to be patient and wait on the Lord. Amen. The thing is, what I'm talking about giving direction is you being faithful in your walk with Him. I'm not saying that you're going to open the Bible tonight and you're going to get every answer about every problem in your life. But what I believe that the Bible will do is the Bible will illuminate your path that you should walk individually in your walk with Christ. And what happens is the other things in your life begin to fall into place. If you can individually be faithful, and He's illuminating your path and your walk with Him, the other worries and cares in life will fall where they need to fall. The Bible wasn't written to fix my almost 8% mortgage rate. Amen? I wish it was, but it wasn't written to fix that. The Bible wasn't written to specifically fix all these uncomfortable things that I've got in my life. The Bible was written to give me communication and communion with God. And if I can have communication with God, what I will see is those other things in life, He will deliver and He will provide. Now, I may pay an 8% interest rate until I die. But guess what? The other things in my life will be exactly where they need to be. See, if we're not careful, we will make this walking with this lamp that Psalm 119, 105 is talking about, this walking with this lamp, we'll make it to be servicing to me. And that's not the case. It's not here to give me what I want and what I desire. What it is to put me on the path that God has for me. And if I'm on that path, that means that there's going to be some things that are inconvenient. But if I'm walking on His path, I'm going to be okay. 8% interest rate, $4 gas or not. I don't like paying any of it. But sometimes we go into the Word of God and we try to get answers for some of these things when we really just to be focusing on faith, being faithful to Him. I can't fix these things. I can't answer these things. I wish I could. But what the Word does do is it draws me closer to Him. And those things that matter so much, they seem to matter less and less. How are we going to pay this? How are we going to handle this? How are we going to get through this? And then God makes a way. I don't even know how He does it. Well, it don't add up. I mean, me and Shelby have had the conversations. We have run the spreadsheets. We have made the Excel sheets. We have written it out. I mean, I've seen her tape. I wish she was in here tonight. I've seen her tape printer paper together about yay long of our flow chart of our income and our outgoing, and it don't add up. But guess what? If I follow this word and I'm walking with Him and I'm seeking who He wants me to be, all that other junk always falls into place. And I always have every dime that I need. Say, well, I didn't have that extra dollar I needed, but I've always had every dime that I need. I've never went out without when I'm walking with the Lord. So we've got to take away the idea that the word is to supply every single desire that I have, and realize that when I'm walking with the illumination of the word, God will supply every need that I have. It's not there to give me everything that I want. This is not a Joel Osteen message. I'm not here to tell you God's going to give you all these things. What I'm here to tell you is if you're faithful to Him and you let Him illuminate your path, if you let Him lighten your life, if you take this word and you walk with the word before you, you will have what you need. And it may not be what somebody else has. It may not be as much as somebody else. But my grandfather always said, God knew not to make the boys rich because He knew that I wouldn't be responsible with it. Pretty simple. I'm paying for that, right? I've never went without church. Never. Never. When I'm walking with this word as a lamp under my feet, my dad cracks me up. Anybody else got a dad obsessed with flashlights and lights and lights in general? Anybody? Nobody? Max King is, apparently. Skyler's dad is. Praise the Lord. My dad loves, I'm going to have him come set it up when we get our house. Because when we pull up and we get out of the car, now not for me, but for his daughter-in-law and them grandkids, they've got a big light, motion sensor light. If it's dark, they pull up and it illuminates all around the car. Shelby can get out and get the kids in the dark and not, she can see. You go in the house and he's got these little motion sensor lights in the hallways, especially at my grandmother's. You're talking about a lamp under your feet. And me and my brother give him a hard time about it, but we'd be over at my grandmother's, walk down the hallway, and it looks like a runway through there. Praise the Lord. You stub a toe or two, you will be thankful for a lamp under your feet. It's the same thing with the Word. The Word is there to illuminate the path before us. We think, man, I get in there and God's always going to give me what I want. God's always going to, maybe something, God's going to give me an answer to this, or God's going to give me an answer to that. And you don't always get this flashing in the sky answer to everything. Not every desire that you have is going to be fulfilled. But if you will focus on those lights, if you will walk down that hall, even though you're walking through the dark, He illuminates what the most important thing when you're walking is what? Where them feet's going. You go where your feet's aimed. If you're like me, my feet's aimed the wrong direction. I got to aim them in a little bit, but you go where your feet's aimed. And if you're walking through the dark, you need illumination. You need to be able to see where you're going. And this word does that. What does it do? When it's illuminating your path, it's drawing you closer to Him. Walking according to His word, walking in accordance to His statutes, walking in accordance to His ways, and when you're doing those things, I'm going to say it again, all the other stuff falls into place. And God, in His amazing way, gives you stuff you didn't even realize. You get stressed about finances, right? They're so fun. You get stressed about paying for things, and we have in our mind, me and Shelby talk about it. We've had it in our mind. This is the way that our financial situation is going to be fixed. This is the way that this issue in our family is going to be fixed. This is the way that the issue in our career is going to be fixed. This is the way this issue with whatever, these bills or this medical debt is going to be fixed. This is how this is going to get fixed. And you get it in your mind how it's going to be fixed, right? Anybody plan for God? This is how this will get fixed. We've had stuff come up, and it didn't get fixed. Not the way I thought. Shelby made a, she's going to be so mad she wasn't in here. I was bragging on her. I'm just kidding. She don't care. She made such a brilliant statement to me. She said, it's simple too. Do you realize, maybe God is going to bless us and take care of our needs in a completely different way than we thought. But it's not as easy, Shelby. But it's not as simple, Shelby. But it's not what I thought, Shelby. But it's not, it causes me to do this, and I don't get to do that, and I have to go here, and I got to do there. And 2-3 months down the road, we're driving over to church, and I'm like, Shelby, you know, wasn't it so amazing when I said God was going to handle this situation in the way we didn't think? She said, that was my idea. I told you that. That was mine. Try not to go into details. I'm sorry. But this word being a lamp at your feet doesn't mean it's going to fall into place exactly the way you think. It may just mean God has another means and another way of providing. And guess what? When those things happen like that, they're oftentimes better than what we thought. They're actually, if it comes from God, it's always better than what we thought. But very seldom does it happen exactly the way I thought. But just learning to lean and say, Lord, I'm going to take this word. And I'm going to believe this word. And I'm going to apply this word to my life. And I'm going to let this word guide my life. And what do you mean? A lot of people say that. A lot of people reference this verse. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It can't be a light. It can't be a light if you never put oil in your lamp. Why read the word? Because it's not going to be able to illuminate your path if you're not putting oil in your lamp. If you're not spending time in the Word, it can't illuminate your path. It can't speak into your life if you neglect it. And that doesn't make God any less powerful than He is. What that means is we've made the choice to not trust God by not spending time in His Word. And that's a shame in itself, because we have the Word of God from heaven given to man. So if you want Him to illuminate your path, you got to have oil in your lamp. You got to spend time in the Word. All right, let's put that in modern terms. You got to put batteries in your light, in your flashlight. Amen. You're not always going to open up the Word. We like these movie scene moments, don't we? Just, oh, there it is, the answer to my problem. I grew up under, some of the people I grew up under, that's how they preach, just open her up and whatever it says. Hey, and it's all good and it's all inspired, but I believe a preacher should study and have, amen? You don't know what you're going to get on Sunday morning. It's not always right there the first time you read it. It's not always as soon as you open it up and it just right there, that verse. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you just open the Word and you just read a few verses and it's exactly what you need, but it's not always that way. But I've learned that the more time I spend in it, the more it speaks into my life and the less I need to rely on me randomly opening a verse and it touching me. Do we understand? I don't have to just rely on, my goodness, let me find something. But when I can spend time in God's Word each and every day, it speaks to my life every day. And my path is illuminated every day. And He gives me what I need when I need it every day. That's why it's important to read it. It's like, anybody know about, maybe you have a job, we had a robbery kit in the bank. If you got robbed, everything you needed was in this robbery kit. And I went through banking, and I'm not going to say, I may have to go back to the bank one day, I don't know. But in my time in banking, in the time I spent banking, 7 years, I guess close to 8 years, I never was robbed, thank the Lord. But I knew where that robbery kit was. And you get some people, we'd have random robbery drills. And it was like a Chinese fire drill, if you ever heard of one of those. Trying to find the robbery kit. Where was that? Where'd it go? Where'd it go? And sometimes in my life, especially when I've not spent my time I need to in the Word, some storm starts in my life. And I'm looking. And I'm grasping at straws. But when a storm comes and I've been feeding and I've been fueling, I look and there's a glimpse of a light in the path before me. And I know it's going to be okay. I don't know the answer. I'm walking through a storm. I'm walking through darkness. I'm walking through difficulties. I'm walking through scary things. But I have faith because I see this glimmer of light because I put oil in my lamp. And the times when I don't, I'm like some of them girls at the bank. Where'd it go? And then you find it and you don't know what's in it. And there's nothing worse than finding something that important and not knowing what's in it. So many Christians, they find the Word and they don't know what's in it. I want to know more. I wish I knew more. There's so many men that stand behind the pulpit and they know so much more about the Word than me. But what I do know is that I can go to this Word and He will illuminate and light my path. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to have every answer. I don't have to understand every theological element of the Word. But what I do know is when I go there, He lights my path. And when I spend time there, my path is illuminated, my direction before me. And I learn and I understand that I should not be so self-serving with the Word. That I go when I'm trying to illuminate and find what I want in life. But I go to the Word for direction in everything in life. And that if I can stay on that path, come what may with everything else, if I'm on His path, walking on His way according to His purpose, I will be okay. The purpose of the Word, why I read the Word, it gives us direction. And also it helps us resist temptation. When we're walking with the Lord, a day like today, you spend time in the house of God, you spend time in the Word. Temptation for some of us today is far away. You get around church people, you get around believers in this very moment. Now, you may be eat up with it right now, but there's some days, especially on the Lord's Day, where it's so refreshing to spend time and just the devil's just, it's not like that every time. But then Monday comes, and Tuesday comes, and Wednesday comes, and Thursday comes. Starts getting Friday, Saturday, I need a checkup. One of my former preachers, a checkup from the neck up, amen? I need my checkup this week. I got to get something straight, got to get something right. I'm starting to wane. By Wednesday, I really need it. By Thursday, I've recharged a little bit. I'm ready to go. I need to get there Sunday. I need to be in church all day. I need to be around my friends. I need to see this person. I need to see that person. We get weak, don't we? It helps us resist temptation. Why? Because we always know when it comes to the laws and the statutes of God, if you're a student of God's Word, if you've listened in church, you always know where the mark is for right and wrong. Now, there's some things unknown and unseen in this life. Where you'll be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 10 minutes, 20 minutes is unseen and unknown. We do not know. But right and wrong, there's always a shining beacon of light in the same place concerning right and wrong. God's label of right and wrong, sin and what's not sin, cannot be redefined. It does not change. It has never changed. We know right from wrong always in the same place, in the same spot. And so that shining light of right and wrong never changes and it never moves. So when we start wavering in temptation, we start seeing that light begin to dim and dim and dim, right? And you get the point, as a Christian, you're so far away, that light's just almost gone. And then you realize how far away you are. You say, I don't believe a Christian can get that far away. Look at the prodigal son. He was content to eat there with the hogs. You can get to a pretty dark spot as a Christian. But guess what? God's never changed His Word. God's never lifted away from the things that he says are right and wrong. See, there's so much redefinition of so many things in our society right now. We want to redefine everything. Hey, there's some things they needed some redefinition. I don't believe someone's gender is one of them. We need to redefine what's right and wrong in parenting. Should you discipline your children or should you not? I'd say the prisons, ear to ear, full of people, young people, that have committed heinous crimes, show us that we should have never wavered away from strong and biblical parenting. See, we try to redefine these things because we think we have arrived to a point as a society where we know better. But guess what? The mark of right and wrong has always been in the same place. There has always been a shining beacon telling man what is sin and what is pleasing to God. And so when we begin to waver off of the path of what we know to be right and wrong, this shining light of the truth of God's Word never moves and it never changes. It's a pretty easy thing to follow. Now, we don't like to follow because of our sin. Man is in a rebellious state by nature. And you go back to the garden and you see God created man, and then he created woman, and they, man and woman, not just woman, not just man, they resisted and went against God's Word, and sin entered into the world. In generation to generation to generation to generation, it has been bred into the human being, every human being that's been born, sin. But guess what? God's definition of right and wrong has never changed. And so, if you want to know what is right and wrong, thank the Lord we have the Holy Ghost who deals with us and he convicts us and he shows us this path. But we also have the wonderful and beautiful Word in which the Holy Ghost can work and can illuminate to us. But we have the Word to show us and direct us. And oftentimes we don't have to even go and look, do we? This year we had a number of songs being thankful to the Lord, being thankful for salvation. And being thankful for salvation, I was thinking, 21 years this year, in September the 11th, I accepted Christ as my Savior. Man, what a blessing it is. And if I could go back and tell you, there's so much more that I'm not proud of than what I am proud of. There's so many times I've wavered and I've walked away. But I'm telling you, after this long, I know right from wrong. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old going on 13. Can I get an amen there? My goodness, that girl. I told Shelby, it's like, you're just going to have to handle this. Me and Riley, we're right there. We got it. I don't know how to handle a girl. My goodness. My dad, he just melts like butter. Meaner than a striped snake. And then she'll just look at you, Daddy. And I'm like, nope. I ain't doing it. Shelby? I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. They know right from wrong. So how do you know? She can't even speak. She's 1-year-old. That look, parents. Anybody know that look? They know they're doing wrong. We know right from wrong. We act like we've grown so big and I'm 50 years old. I'm 28 years old. I'm 35 years old. We act like we've grown to a point where it's gotten more complex, right? And in ways it has. You get into a lot different stuff when you're 35 than you do when you're 3. But right from wrong is still the same thing. And this Word being this lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, illuminating that path of right from wrong, it's never wavered, it's never changed, and it's never moved. And if a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old can be parented to the point where they know right from wrong, I guarantee you that I know right from wrong. I have no excuse. I've got a Word. You say, well, I don't know. There's some people I think they're going to get to God and be like, well, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I got pulled over one time. I worked for First Bank. They were based out of Pinehurst, North Carolina. middle of nowhere. I may have told this story. I don't know. I'm sorry. I get to Enterprise. Shelby drops me off. There's a Dodge Challenger sitting there, and there's a Nissan Versa sitting there. I go inside. The young guy's working. He's like, I got the keys to the both. Got the keys to both. What do you want? Is that even a question? Give me that Dodge Challenger. I'm 20-year-old, and I want a Nissan Versa. Shelby, when we pulled in the parking lot, I said, that's my car right there, that black Dodge Challenger. It was black, too. I mean, nothing's faster than black. I said, that's my car. She said, no, it's not. I come out with the keys, and I showed her otherwise. I got to Shelby, and I'm not going to say how fast I was going, but I got to Shelby, and I saw the blue lights. I was on the phone with my mom. I saw blue lights on a state trooper. And I said, man, this state trooper's going to go pull somebody over. I'm going to have to get off the phone. I'm going to get out of his way. Well, I pulled out of the way. He pulled up behind me. Wrote me a nice big fat ticket. He walks up to me, rolled the window down, said, do you realize you were speeding? I was like, I've been speeding since I left Buncombe County. I knew I couldn't lie to the man. He says, you realize how fast you're going? Now, remember, I drive a 2009 Subaru Impreza most of the time. And I said, this is a rental. He said, really? I said, yes, it's a rental. I have no excuses. But I was tempted to, I didn't know. I'm from out of town. I called my wife in Shelby. I was in Shelby, and I called Shelby. I said, you're never going to believe this, but I just got pulled over. And I had about 1 minute of pure silence. She said, you're kidding me. I said, you're not going to believe how much the ticket is. It was more than our rent. It was bad. But you know, I saw that man get out of the car, and I was tempted to make up some junk. Make up something. You know what I mean? I was tempted. I'm the only sinner in here tonight. I was tempted of thinking up something. But you know what? I was never, ever, ever going to be able to pull the wool over that dude's eyes. Never. 20-year-old black Dodge Challenger, brand hammer new. Boom. Never. And so often, we know right from wrong before we commit a sin, don't we? And we've got a word that illuminates our path, that lights our path, that shows us the way, that tells us what's right and wrong. And we almost, and sometimes we do, try to bargain with God. Well, I didn't know, right this, right that. They did that to me. And I was just, we try to bargain with God about sin, but the mark that he towed in his word never moves and never changes. Get to heaven. This flesh, it's a rental. No, we can't bargain with God on sin. And so this word, what I'm getting at, this word illuminating and lightening our path and showing us our way, it helps us resist the temptation because we know right from wrong. And what's bad? We commit sin, and like I said, and I'm going to say this and I'll be done. We commit sin, and we know, before you even think about doing it, we know. That's the bad thing. That's why we're not much different from these little children. Am I right? We look at God. We're not much different. We get a spanking for it and we're surprised. We get chastised for it and we get mad. We get swatted on our tails and we swat back. And we knew all along it was wrong. So what does this word do? Why read this word? It will help you resist temptation. Guess what? You will sin again before you die. You will. These people selling this perfection junk on earth, they're out of their mind. Wow, I strive to be like Christ. And what does that mean? That's striving to be perfect. But I know that I can't be perfect, but I'm striving to be like Him. And if I can just strive to be like Him, and if I can succeed in some ways in my life, if some area of my life can shine on Jesus, guess what? I've glorified him. I've lifted him up. I have pleased him. But I can't be perfect. But don't ever let anybody tell you, and most importantly, don't let the devil tell you, well, you didn't know. Because before I even think about acting on it, I know. It will speak into temptation in your life. We all battle different things. James says that we're all drawn away of our own lust. And what a true statement. You got things you're drawn by. I've got things I'm drawn by. Different things attract different people. You hear people getting into certain sins. People are like, I don't understand that. Drugs are one of those things. Everybody have this such a negative attitude towards people doing drugs and things. You don't know what you will do. You have no idea. And guess what? There's a lot of people look down on people for their sin and remember what you got on the inside is just as wicked as anybody else. Don't look down on people because they're in some kind of sin. What it is, we're living in a society, whatever sin is shunned by society is what we like to throw stones at, right? Used to be homosexual, gay relationships were no in society. That ship has sailed. Now you're called names for disagreeing with it. Now it's accepted. Hey, don't take me in my mind. That's not something I deal with. So I can condemn anybody that deals with that, right? I've never faced that. I'm a man. I don't think that way. You heard that kind of stuff? Guess what? I've thought that kind of stuff. I've said those kind of things. And inside of me, I knew I was guilty of something just as guilty as anybody else. Sin is sin with God. You offend God in one way without accepting Jesus as your Savior, you will go to hell. Sin is sin. But this word clearly lays out a path, right and wrong. And if we, why read the word? Because it helps us battle that temptation. What did Jesus do when the devil tempted him? He gave him the word. How many times did Jesus say, it is written? Guess what? He's the author. And he said, it is written. If the author uses the book, I believe in the book. He believed in it and he used it because he knew, guess what? He knew how timeless it was. He knew how powerful it was. He knows how great it is. Why? Because he is the word. He existed all the way back. We've said it during this series, this part. He existed before heaven and earth was spoken into creation. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word is God. The Word always will be God. If that can't get us excited, I don't know what will. And guess what? If we won't put that arrow in our quiver against the wiles of the devil, we've just given up, haven't we? We've got such a powerful weapon. And we leave it laying so often.